hello, hello, and welcome to the Sober Butterfly Podcast. The Sober Butterfly Podcast amplifies diverse sober voices to share the beautiful and hard truths of recovery. We hope to inspire people to see a life without alcohol should be a life celebrated, not a shameful and isolating experience. I am Nadine Movina, and thank you for tuning in. New episodes drop every Tuesday at 6 a.m. Eastern, so make sure that you hit follow or subscribe so you can stay up to date. Let's jump into episode 111, which is all about how to protect your sobriety. Now, I used to think before I got sober that getting sober would be the hardest part of recovery, but I actually now think that the hardest part is staying sober, and I hope that doesn't scare anyone away who's not sober. It's not that I think that my personal sobriety is in jeopardy or anything like that. I'm definitely not on the brink of a relapse. It's more like when I'm restless, you know, at 2 a.m. and I'm tossing and turning, and there's this sense of existential dread, just like thinking about this idea of forever and me being sober for the rest of my life. So yeah, that happens, but I digress. Sobriety is amazing, and you will want to protect it at all costs. How do you protect your investment or your sobriety? And this, my friends, is the question that I love to ask my guests when they open up their souls on this very show to bear vulnerable truths about sobriety and about their recovery journeys. I'm going to take a walk down memory lane. Please indulge me and come along for the journey as we take a look back to some of my interviews so far on the show. We're going to hear some common themes related to connection, honest communication, self-awareness, and building deep relationships and systems. So let's begin with episode number one. Episode one with Faith Grant. Faith Grant is a great friend of mine. I've known her for many years since college, and she's sober and soulful. When Faith speaks, I feel like she's speaking to my soul. That's why I'm describing her as soulful. Here's what Faith had to say about protecting her sobriety on episode one, Drunk on the Hill. How are you protecting your sobriety? I know you mentioned hobbies, so I'm curious, and I think people at home would be interested to know more about how to protect sobriety. What works for you?
So for me, I really had to evaluate responses to things. And so I had to really understand what triggered me to want to drink. And so for me, it's all about creating like toolboxes. So when I'm feeling really under pressure, like the other day, I felt everything mounting on me. I took a nap. Can't lie. I took a nap.
Naps for the win.
And I woke up and I just felt so much better. Sometimes we don't always have the privilege to do that. But I know what have helped me in the past is going on walks, anything active, anything outside. Calling certain people, like I have a really, really close friend of mine. I would see like a soul sister, and she just finished rehab because she was also dealing with it. So she's also a huge resource for me to tap into. But like I said, finding new hobbies, finding new things that you like. Like I have a Pilates class in like an hour and a half, and I've never done Pilates, but I'm excited to try it and see if they're going to kick my ass or not. So just challenging myself and just doing things, like I said, I never thought I would do. Like I think next week I'm going to be making a rug.
Wow.
So, I mean, hey, it's a whole class on how to make a rug, designing it, cutting it, threading it. So, I mean, just finding out and discovering who you are. And I think that's the whole purpose of living. We're supposed to change. We're supposed to evolve. And so I think just giving yourself grace to find out who you are at this stage of your life is really important.
If you're not changing, you're dead. Like, you know, if you, like, there's no point. Like, literally, we have to change and evolve as humans. Exactly. I love that. I love that you're taking a rug class. Like, I've never heard of that. I'm like, basket weaving? Like, I'm like, I don't know. Let me know how that goes. I'm very curious to know. I love how eager Faith is to shake things up. And I love that she's a constant learner. I actually want to follow up with her about that rug. Anyway. Next up, we have Nicole on episode 105, Breaking Generational Curses. I actually met Nicole through Sober Instagram, and through this episode, I learned so much about Al-Anon. So if you're an adult child of an alcoholic or substance abuse runs in your family, you're definitely going to want to hear Nicole's full episode. For now, though, let's hear about how Nicole protects her sobriety. What would you attribute has been your greatest ally in your sobriety, and what's really helped you stay consistent on this road to recovery?
Honestly, Instagram. I feel like I didn't even realize that there was a whole community. Somehow when I explore the book, The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober.
Yeah, it's a great one.
And I screenshotted it. And I was like, well, that's cool that that was on Instagram. And I don't know what I searched, but I was like, oh my God, there's this whole community. Like, this is great. Like, there's all these people that are like living their lives and they're flourishing and they're having a good time. Like, it's not sad. It's not depressing. I didn't see any of that in real life. Now I do. I've been connected with like local people, but honestly, the online community through Instagram, I think was great, was incredibly helpful to me. I lost a lot of friends in the very beginning. I isolated myself because I was like, I just got to figure this shit out. And I also saw a psychiatrist and got put on an antidepressant, which I needed. And I think I needed that and therapy. And that came first.
Of course.
So I don't think I would have gotten to looking at myself if I didn't do those things first. I wish that I would have a little bit sooner. But yeah, I think Instagram, I think this whole community of people that are living their lives and showing it, the good, the bad, the ugly, has been so helpful. It's given me hope. It's given me inspiration. And it sounds so corny. Like, oh, Instagram saved my life. It's definitely not like that, but it definitely helped. I needed to see that there was another side of alcohol.
Gosh, Nicole just makes me smile. And you know what? Sober Instagram saved my life too, girl. So in this next episode, we have Reagan. Reagan is like my role model. She radiates pure light. And I love how she's living proudly as a sober stripper. And it not only makes for a good interview, but it's also a really good example of strength and self-love. When Reagan talks about the importance of a strong, sober circle, you can hear her sincerity. When I interviewed Reagan, it was the first time I'd actually ever spoken to her. And since that recording, we regularly speak and text. And Reagan has just looked out for me in so many ways that I know that she's a true friend and we will be friends for a long time. Things are working for you to maintain your sobriety, but I'm also wondering what specific advice you would give to someone who wants to get clean or who wants to just change and not be in a space where they're living their life in a perpetual cycle that they know is not going to end well for them.
Words that I would give to anyone stuck in a cycle: building that positive support group is really helpful, whether it's, you know, drug and alcohol addiction or anything else that you're struggling with. Having friendships and relationships with people where you can be really honest about your mental and emotional state and what's really going on, and that can help you process and see things and to help you acknowledge, like, okay, well, what is the positive action then that I want to take for whatever struggle that I'm in? Having people around you that can help you stay accountable. And I think that, yeah, like living an overall healthy life, like going to the gym regularly, taking time for prayer and meditation and silent time, journaling, there's so many healthy tools and exercises that we can use that have helped me stay sober and off of drugs and alcohol, and to also help my mental health. Those things really work. I think your one thing too about the essential oils.
Yes, I love essential oils. I always keep some in my bag. I know that's crazy, like, but I do. It's like a quick way. I think there is some science behind it, like with smell and your olfactory gland or whatever. But like, when I'm stressed or when I feel like a trigger is coming, I will just like smell it directly or rub some on me and it calms me. Yeah, totally into the essential oils.
On episode 108, I sat down with a sober sister named Ketsia. I freaking love Ketsia. She has such an adventurous spirit, like poetic words just pour out of her mouth. And she has an open heart, and I learned so much from her and feel energized like anytime I talk to her. So one day I just have this feeling that Ketsie and I are going to go on this epic trip. Aries and Virgos surprisingly travel really well together. I think the highly organized Virgo, aka Ketsie, and the impulsivity of an Aries like me really balance each other out. Anyway, let's see how Ketsie protects her sobriety in this episode.
So what are you doing to protect your sobriety?
For me, it's boundaries around my morning and evening routines. I don't do interviews, for example, at 10 o'clock at night, and I protect my mornings. And the reason I do that personally is overwhelm was a huge contributing factor, rather, of me drinking. And having that respect, even to the point of like, if someone's texting me or they want me to call, unless it's really an emergency, it has to wait until I've started my day. And
I love that.
Some people might think that that's really harsh, but you know what? I don't care, because that honestly is what keeps me grounded. Does it mean that I don't have a lot of friends in real life here? We just moved here 2 years ago. That's not my goal. You know, my goal is to protect my sobriety. And it's not a science. Like, I still do struggle with this. I am an extreme people pleaser. I'm a Virgo. I'm a perfectionist. But if I can at least honor some parts of my routine, even on a family level, like when you're living or cohabitating with people, or you have a routine that's intertwined, like say you have a friend you go to yoga with or whatever, setting up healthy routines and structures that are supportive. So people that are on like the same track as you, is I'm all about talking, even conversations. Like, you know, I don't do every podcast that I get asked to do, because I feel like when I started following you and I saw what you were doing, I could tell there was a connection. You know what I mean? So why am I used to waste my time on people that I would never even like give the time of day to now. And I don't mean that in a harsh way. It's just like, but like, life is short.
I interrupt this program with a quick life check-in. You guys, I'm having a bit of a hard time readjusting, if I'm being quite honest, to real life. I'm going to air quote real life, because I don't know, like, what is real life? Since coming back from Thailand a couple weeks ago, I just feel like I don't know where I belong. And as much as I love New York, if I really do some deep thinking and introspection, I don't think I felt really at home in New York since returning post-pandemic. Yeah, that's a hard truth for me to swallow, because I used to think that this was my forever home. And now I'm sort of questioning if I should stay here. So there's a book that I perpetually have in rotation on my Kindle, and it's Women Who Run with the Wolves by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. She says, it is worse to stay where one does not belong at all than to wonder about lost for a while and looking for the psychic and soulful kinship one requires. I think I need to wonder. Just putting that out there, I am happy to report that it is fall here in New York City, which is really nice. I like the change of seasons. I don't think I was fully prepared for the drastic decline in temperature. Like, literally, it was like 85 and sunny, and then it was 55 and windy. And I actually have a cold. You may hear it in my voice, I'm nasally. I think that plus being back in person at work, so I'm really exposed to a lot more germs. And so, yeah, I am going through many transitions right now. And maybe it's the season. Maybe I'm just looking for a new season in my life that will pour into me in a different way. But I feel a little drained. So yeah, thanks for letting me share. Back to the episode. Okay, and for our last interview and my latest interview with Christina, this actually sparked a lot of conversation on my sober Instagram page, because in this episode, she really goes in depth about how to introduce your sobriety to the world. And I'm just wondering how I can introduce Christina to the world, because she is truly one of a kind. I really love her mind, and she just understands the importance of prioritizing your sobriety. So let's hear what she has to say about protecting her sobriety and how you can protect yours. I like to ask all of my guests this question. So what are you doing to protect your sobriety?
Talking about it. Absolutely. Finding a community and sharing about it. In the beginning, I was like secretly stalking sober IG. Just like scrolling and liking, but like never really commenting, never talked about my sobriety. But I didn't truly like start really sharing about my sobriety till I was over a year sober. And it was amazing to see that there was all of these people, because I didn't know any sober people in real life. The weird thing is, I have sober people in my family, and it's just so, it's not talked about. Like, it's just not, people don't share about it until I started sharing about it. And then all these people came out of the woodworks, and I was like, I've got a great aunt who's been sober for like 50 years. Like, how did I not know that? Like, how, she met her husband in AA. Like, how did I not know about this stuff? You know? I knew about the alcoholism in my family, but I didn't know about the, you know, that there were people making other choices. But yeah, sharing and finding a community.
That's the part too. Like, why are we not uplifting positive stories as well? Because yeah, you're right. Like, I hear more negativity around, you know, alcoholism than I do about like positivity about sobriety.
And that's all I got for you this week, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope that you were able to take away some gems. I am curious, what answer resonated with you the most? How are you protecting your sobriety? Let me know in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, or you can always DM me on Instagram. My Instagram is at the period sober butterfly, or shoot me an email, nadine@thesoberbutterfly.com. Very interested to hear from you guys. A quick reminder, new episodes do drop every Tuesday at 6 a.m., which means that episode 12 will be October 3rd, next week's episode, which is actually right around the corner and also the start of Sober October. So if you are sober curious, or if you're just looking to take a break from alcohol, Sober October is a great time to start. I was actually doing some like research about Sober October, trying to learn a little bit more about the origin. And I read an article entitled "Trying to Have a Sober October. Here is what you need to know." And this was published on Healthline, so I'm actually going to include it in the show notes. But what really stood out to me is that they listed rules, like specific rules to follow, which I had to chuckle at, because all you really need to know about Sober October is that you don't drink for the month, okay? Do not drink for the month of October. You should be fine. Now, this may be easy for some, impossible for others. So all you have to do is try and be honest with yourself. And if you do find that Sober October is really hard for you, then instead of kind of like shrugging it off, like I've done many times before, like, you know, attributing this to being a dumb challenge, I think it would be better for you to really ask yourself, okay, why is this silly? And what about me not being able to stick to this is laughable. Highly recommend everyone try Sober October if you're still drinking, just to see where you're at and what your relationship really is like with alcohol, because you may think it's healthy and then you start the challenge and you're like, oh crap, like this was a big part of my routine, having my glass of wine every evening. What do I do now? Or you may be triggered at some point during the month of October and immediately want to turn to alcohol and then realize you can't. And so it just may help you to replace some of the coping mechanisms that you have in regards to alcohol with something healthier. I will see you guys next week. I love you so much. Thank you for listening. Please leave a review if you have not done so. It really helps the show grow. It also helps me with figuring out how to push out more content that is beneficial to people who are in need of hearing these messages. So thank you again. I love you. Have a great week. See you next Tuesday.